Wan jumped to a sitting position in his cot on the starship, his eyes popping open wide, sweat on his forehead, and his breath coming in gasps. A dream. It was all a dream. He told himself that repeatedly as he tried to settle back down on the cot. It was all a dream. Or was it? He could see things after all before they happened. Ancien! Came a call from the front of the ship, the familiar voice of his master. He knew that he had to shake the dream away, had to focus on the events at hand, the latest assignment beside his master. But that was easier said than done, for he saw her again, his mother, her body going rigid, crystallizing, then exploding into a million shattered shards. He looked up ahead, envisioning his master at the controls, wondering if he should tell all to the Jedi, wondering if the Jedi would be able to help him. But that thought washed away as soon as it had crossed his mind. His master, Obi-Wan Kenobi, would not be able to help. They were too involved in other things, in his training, in minor assignments like the border dispute that had brought them so far out from Coruscant. The Padawan wanted to get back to Coruscant as soon as possible. He needed guidance now, but not the kind he was getting from Obi-Wan. He needed to speak with Chancellor Palpatine again, to hear the man's reassuring words. Palpatine had taken a great interest in him over the last 10 years, making sure that he always got a chance to speak with him whenever he and Obi-Wan were on Coruscant. The Padawan took great comfort in that now, with the terrible dream so vivid in his thoughts. For the Chancellor, the wise leader of all the Republic, had promised him that his powers would soar to previously unknown heights, that he would become a power even among the powerful Jedi. Perhaps that was the answer. Perhaps the mightiest of the Jedi, the mightiest of the mighty, could strengthen the fragile glass. Ancien, came the call again from the front. Anakin, get up here. Chapter 1. Shmi Skywalker Lars stood on the edge of the sand berm, marking the perimeter of the moisture farm, one leg up higher to the very top of the ridge, knee bent. With one hand on that knee for support, the middle-aged woman, her dark hair slightly graying, her face worn and tired, stared up at the many bright dots of starlight on this crisp Tatooine night. No sharp edges broke the landscape about her. Just the smooth and rounded forms of wind-blown sand dunes on this planet of seemingly endless sands. Somewhere out in the distance, a creature groaned, a plaintive sound that resonated deeply within Shmi this night. This special night. Her son Anakin, her dearest little Annie, turned 20 this night, a birthday Shmi observed each year, though she hadn't seen her beloved child in a decade. How different he must be. How grown, how strong, how wise in the ways of the Jedi by now. Shmi, who had lived all of her life in a small area of drab Tatooine, knew that she could hardly imagine the wonders her boy might have found out there among the stars, on planets so different from this, with colors more vivid and water that filled entire valleys. A wistful smile widened on her still pretty face as she remembered those days long ago, when she and her son had been slaves of the wretch Watto. Annie, with his mischief and his dreams, with his independent attitude and unsurpassed courage, used to so infuriate the Toydarian junk dealer. Despite the hardships of life as a slave, there had been good times too back then. Despite their meager food, their meager possessions, despite the constant complaining and ordering about by Watto, she had been with Annie, her beloved Annie. You should come in, came a quiet voice behind her. Shmi's smile only widened, and she turned to see her stepson, Owen Lars, walking over to join her. He was a stocky and strong boy about Anakin's age, with short brown hair, a few bristles, and a wide face that could not hide anything that was within his heart. Shmi tousled Owen's hair when he moved beside her, and he responded by draping an arm across her shoulders and kissing her on the cheek. No starship tonight, Mom? Owen asked good-naturedly. He knew why Shmi had come out here, why she came out here so very often in the quiet night. Shmi turned her hand over and gently stroked it down Owen's face, smiling. She loved this young man as she loved her own son, and he had been so good to her, so understanding of the hole that remained within her heart. Without jealousy, without judgment, Owen had accepted Shmi's pain and had always given her a shoulder to lean on. "No starship this night," she replied, and she looked back up at the starry canopy. "Anakin must be busy saving the galaxy or chasing smugglers and other outlaws. He has to do those things now, you know." "Then I shall sleep more soundly from this night forward," Owen replied with a grin. Though she was kidding, of course, Shmi did realize a bit of truth in her presumption about Anakin. He was a special child, something beyond the norm. Even for a Jedi, she believed. Anakin had always stood taller than anyone else, not physically. Physically, as Shmi remembered him, he was just a smiling little boy with curious eyes and sandy blonde hair. But Annie could do things, and so very well. Even though he was only a child at the time, he had raced pods, defeating some of the very best racers on all of Tatooine. He was the first human ever to win one of the pod races, and that was when he was only 9 years old. And in a racer that Shmi remembered with an even wider smile, had been built with spare parts taken from Watto's junkyard. But that was Anakin's very special way, because he was not like the other children, or even like other adults. Anakin could see things before they happened, as if he was so tuned to the world about him that he understood innately the logical conclusion to any course of events. He could often sense problems with his pod racer, for example, long before those problems manifested themselves in a catastrophic way. He had once told her that he could feel the upcoming obstacles in any course before he actually saw them. It was his special way, and that was why the Jedi who had come to Tatooine had recognized the unique nature of the boy and had freed him from Watto and taken him into their care and instruction. "I had to let him go," Shmi said quietly. "I could not keep him with me, if that meant living the life of a slave." "I know," Owen assured her. "I could not have kept him with me even if we were not slaves," she went on, and she looked at Owen as if her own words had surprised her. "Annie has so much to give to the galaxy. His gifts could not be contained by Tatooine. He belongs out there, flying across the stars, saving planets. He was born to be a Jedi, born to give so much more to so many more." "That is why I sleep better at night," Owen reiterated. And when Shmi looked at him, she saw that his grin was wider than ever. "Oh, you're teasing me," she said, reaching out to swat her stepson on the shoulder. Owen merely shrugged. Shmi's face went serious again. "Annie wanted to go," she went on, the same speech she had given Owen before, the same speech she had silently repeated to herself every night for the last 10 years. "His dream was to fly about the stars, to see every world in the whole galaxy, to do grand things. He was born a slave, but he was not born to be a slave. No, not my Annie. Not my Annie." Owen squeezed her shoulder. "You did the right thing. If I was Anakin, I would be grateful to you. I'd understand that you did what was best for me. There is no greater love than that, Mom." Shmi stroked his face again and even managed a wistful smile. "Come on in, Mom," Owen said, taking her hand. "It's dangerous out here." Shmi nodded and didn't resist at first as Owen started to pull her along. She stopped suddenly, though, and stared hard at her stepson as he turned back to regard her. "It's more dangerous out there," she said, sucking in her breath, her voice breaking. Alarm evident in her expression, she looked back up at the wide and open sky. "What if he is hurt, Owen? Or dead?" "It's better to die in pursuit of your dreams than to live a life without hope," Owen said, rather unconvincingly. Shmi looked back at him, her smile returning. Owen, like his father, was about as grounded in simple pragmatism as any man could be. She understood that he had said that only for her benefit, and that made it all the more special. She didn't resist anymore as Owen began to lead her along again, back to the humble abode of Klieg.